Today's the day. It's usually some point around this time every year we have a, we call it a child or baby dedication. So today is that day, and we're going to be dedicating, parents will be dedicating one child to the Lord today. So I thought it'd be appropriate for us to look at this passage of Scripture and this thought of giving your children back to God. And we'll be reading and Genesis 22, verses 1 through 13, in just a few moments. Let me just say this before we begin the message. Thank you for your prayers that have gone out for my mother-in-law. My family is with her right now in the hospital, and that things are progressing along, and no doubt soon my mother-in-law will be with the Lord. We didn't want to forget Miss Martha. Her mother had passed away last week, and has now gone on to be with the Lord as well. So if you'll keep Miss Martha Bateman and her family, that homegoing service will be on Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. Is that right? 11 o'clock. So you keep Martha Bateman and her family in your prayers as well. So as we think about giving your children back to God, have you ever thought about that? Ever really realistically thought about giving your child back to God? I know what some of you are thinking. Pastor, I love to give my child back to God, but I don't think God would take them back. And by the way, I thought God had a no return policy on giving children back. And besides that, I lost the receipt and he wouldn't take them back anyhow. So whatever the case is, the truth is there's not a parent here, including myself at some point, and me raising my two children, Joshua and Stephen, that hadn't been a few moments or even a few days or sometimes even a few very long, long months that I wouldn't have liked to package them up and take them to God's customer service counter and say, all right, God, I want my money back. This is not working out the way that I wanted it to. I can remember when Don and I first had our first son, Joshua, then had our youngest son, Stephen. They were 4 years apart, and I think that worked out very well for us. And when we first got married, we had two theories on raising kids. And now we have two kids and no theories on raising kids. Maybe you're the same way as we were. I think one day Stephen came to his mom and asked, Mom, what would you like for your birthday? And of course, Miss Diana would say, Stephen, I'd like to have two well-behaved children for my birthday. Stephen said, well, I think there'll be about six of us for cake and ice cream, amen. You'll figure it out in a couple hours, amen. You'll say that was pretty funny, I have to say. When I suggested earlier that you give your children back to God, I wasn't literally thinking that you need to take your kids and give them back to God and get your money back. When I asked you that, have you ever given your children back to God? What I was asking you was simply this. Have you ever recognized that your children are a precious gift to you from the Lord, and ultimately your children belong to God and not to yourself? You see, here's the truth. You and I need to release or need to give back ownership of our children to God. I think that's our problem sometimes as parents. We think they're ours and we own them and we control them, but ultimately we do not. God owns them. He's the creator of them. He allowed them to be born into this world for a short time. You and I had the privilege to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But understand this, that you are responsible as a mother and dad and grandparents to help God and getting this child to be what God would have him to be. You see, here's the thing. God designed him, designed her. He ultimately knows the plan and the purpose for God's future. And so we must realize this, that God has left it up to you to show them his way. Understand this, it's not your way. It's not my way. It's God's way. And today he's asking every one of us who are parents and even perhaps as grandparents to bring our children and put them on the altar for him. There's been several examples in the Bible of parents who brought their children to God and literally gave them back to God. I think of a first great example is of Hannah. Remember, she brought her son Samuel, and Bible said he was the son whom she had prayed for. And she's praying in the temple, and she said, God, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you. And she literally meant that. And so she presented him to God, handing that young boy over to Samuel, over to Eli, the high priest that was ruling over the nation of Israel at that time. In 1 Samuel 1, in verses 27 and 28, the Bible says this, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord, and long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So we find that she made a vow to God, And God brought that to pass and gave her a son, Samuel. And when it came time, the appointed time, she took him, following what she promised God to do. I wonder how many of us sometimes make promises to God. You know, God, if you'll give me a child, if you'll give me a little girl, if you'll give me a little boy, I'll raise him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'll direct him this way. You send your child off to Bible camp. He comes back as a teenager a few years later and said, Mom, Dad, guess what? God's called me to be a missionary. You're like, oh, wait, hold on. We didn't really mean that when we promised God that we would raise him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And sometimes I think that you and I make these promises to God, but then we don't hold to those promises when God calls our children into the full-time ministry. I think there was another one by the name of Samson. If you remember Samson, he was dedicated to God as a Nazarite even before his birth. His father's name was Manoah, and the Bible doesn't mention his mother's names, although there's some speculation down through the genealogies of what his mother's name was. So we find that Samson was dedicated even before his birth to the Lord. And of course, you remember Joseph and Mary. They brought Jesus to the temple following his circumcision on the eighth day. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And in Luke 2 and verse 22, the Bible says, and when the days of her purification, speaking about Mary, according to the law of Moses, was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And so we find there's several different times in the Bible where parents have taken their child and offered him up in dedication to the Lord. But I think perhaps one of the greatest examples that we have of someone surrendering their child to God is found in our text this morning. And that is found in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 13. And that is where Abraham offered up Isaac, his only begotten son, on Mount Moriah. So I want us to see this morning what God has to say to you and I about giving our children back to God. So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. Begin reading in Genesis 22, and we'll read verse 1 down through verse number 13. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of these mountains, which I will tell of thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to see you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told of him, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer this morning. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We ask, Father, now your blessings be upon the preaching and teaching of your word. Heavenly Father, we pray as we look up of this thought of giving our children back to you. Oh, Father, I pray if there be some parents or some grandparents that never have released, never have given their children back to you, Father, that you would speak to their hearts today, understanding that's really not their children. It's not their grandchild. It's yours, child, Father. You're the creator and sustainer of all life. And so, Father, help us in this area of understanding. Father, be with this new young couple, Father, who is dedicating their child to the Lord, Father. I pray that you impress upon their heart that they must take this commitment very seriously this day. And Father, may all the days of their life, may they live, Father, pleasing to you, raising their daughter up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, speak to that one who could be here today, doesn't know Christ as their Savior. And Father, when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory, for you alone deserve it all. So we pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, that Abraham gave Isaac back to God. Abraham gave Isaac back to God. If you think about that for just a moment, that had to be a pretty painful thing to do. Notice in verse number 2 of our text, God said, "Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac." But yet he could have just said that and that would have been well enough and good enough. But notice what he says, "whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountain, which I will tell of thee." So think about this for just a moment. Isaac had been a miracle baby. He was born when Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100 years old. He was the son of promise. God promised Abraham that he would bear a son, and that son would be the father of many nations. So as we would think about Isaac, we would think about that. He said, "Take now thy son whom thou lovest." Put yourself in Abraham's place for just a moment or two. Perhaps it would have been something like this. How painful it would have been for Abraham to put his dear son of promise on an altar and then place a stack of wood upon him. Then he would raise up his knife to slash open his chest, slash open his throat, cremate his body, and sit by as he smelled the stench of the burning flesh of his boy. That's what would have happened should God had allowed that to happen. Think about that. And if that wasn't enough, he'd had to watch as his boy literally disintegrated into a pile of ashes. Think about that. Think about the love that he had to have to offer his son Isaac upon that altar that day. I don't know about you, but I'm here to inform you this. I do not know that even if God appeared to me by visibly himself and asked me to do that, I do not know if I would have done that. But Abraham believed God and had faith that God would take care of this situation. So in a very real sense, I know I had to do that with both of my boys. I didn't offer them literally on a sacrificial altar like Abraham did. But I knew this, I had to place him on the sacrificial altar for God. And there came a point in my life and Dinah's life that we understood that. And we said, "Okay, God, here is our two boys. Here is Joshua first and Stephen later." And we said, "God, we can't raise them apart from you. And God, I'm giving them back to you. You've only lent them to us. And God, as you enable us as parents to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I am going to do that. But God, these are not my children. You guide me so that I might be able to guide them." You see, giving back to God was the right thing to do. You see that I was just a caretaker for God. I was just God's emissary here on earth to help him in raising these two boys. Ultimately, they belonged to him and we gave them back to the Lord. You know, many times when our loved ones are nearing the end of our life, and we're in a hospital room, or we're in a bedroom at our house, or we're at a nursing home, we're at a rehab facility, and our loved ones are coming near to the end of our life, sometimes we have to do this as well. We have to say, "God, I thank you for Mom. I thank you for Dad. I thank you for my brother and my sister. Sometimes even this child. God, I thank you for that." But we have to release them back to God and say, "God, you know best. Your ways are higher than your ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And God, I need to give this person back to you." And so you might be here and say, "I never had a child. I never had to do that." But ultimately, someday, you might have the opportunity to do that. And I pray when it comes that you'll make that right decision. You'll say, "God, this person whom I love and cared for me all these years, I am turning them over to you. And God, you do what's best and work your will and way in their life." Well, it had to be hard, no doubt, for Abraham. It had to be painful for Abraham as well. But then notice something else. Abraham did the right thing. He did the right thing. I think the best thing that Abraham ever did was to take Isaac and tie him up and place him down upon the altar and surrender him back to God. You see, if Abraham would have refused to give Isaac back that day, he would have forfeited all of God's promises and plans that God had for the nation of Israel coming through the line of Isaac. Isaac would have lived, no doubt, and died in obscurity. He would have been a nomad. He'd been a nobody. And we would not be reading about Isaac today if Abraham would have said, God, there's no way. I'm not giving that son. That's my son. I got him. And what would Sarah think if I offered him up for you today? We find that Abraham did the right thing. And I believe this morning, because of Abraham obeyed God and gave Isaac back to God, I believe this, and the Bible and the scriptures bear this out, that Isaac received the fullness of God's best plan and God's best promises for his life and also for the life of his children to come. You see, Isaac became the forefather of God's own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaac's life still having an impact and still blessings millions and millions of people worldwide today through his offspring, Jesus Christ. What if Abraham would not have given his son back to the Lord? I think there's a lesson for you and I today from the life of Abraham, and it's simply this. If you and I, as parents and grandparents, fail to give our children back to God, we may be forfeiting God's best plan and best purposes for their life. I don't know one parent that ever say, Pastor Dave, I don't want what's best for my children. I don't want my children to be better than me. You know, one of my things that Diana and I talked about is we want our children to be better than we were. And that's not financially. That's kind of important, but that's not to me. The big deal. The big deal is I want them to be closer to God than we are. I want them to walk closer to God than we ever did. I want them to walk spiritually in a way that will be pleasing to the Heavenly Father. And understand this, is that when we do not give our children back to God, we're saying inadvertently to them, I don't want what's God's best for my children. I don't want God to bless them. You see, when we give our children back to God, we secure for them the covenant of God's best purpose and the covenant of God's best plan for our children. Well, first of all, we saw not only did Abraham give Isaac back, but notice four parts of giving your children back to God. Four parts of giving your child back to God. I think, first of all, we should understand this. That giving your child to God is a confirmation of your love for God. It's a confirmation of your love for God. I think the first thing you're saying when you give your child back to the Lord is simply this, that you love God even more than your child. You say, well, how can you say that, Pastor? Well, I think the Bible clearly teaches that God is first in our life, even above our spouses, even above our children. You see, your child is your most prized possession. So don't allow them to take the place of God in your life. Too many times, moms and dads have allowed their children to become their God in their life. And when that happens, you'll find out that sometimes God will have to work in the life of your child and your children to get you to the point where you understand that they're not your God, that He is your God. And then sometimes we're saying, I love you so much that I want the very best for you. It means that giving your child to God means this. That means you're willing to discipline your child. It means you're willing to spank your child. It means giving your child limitations and even changing my life for their benefit and saying, I'll do whatever it takes to raise my child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I believe that's exactly what Abraham proved by his willingness to offer Isaac. He was saying, by offering Isaac to God, he said, God, this is going to change my life. You made these promises to me. And I believe this is a son of promise. But God, if this is what you want and this is your will, I'm willing to give my most prized possession, my only begotten son, back to you. And that's exactly what Abraham proved by his willingness to offer up Isaac that day on Mount Moriah. He was demonstrating that his love and his fear of God was above everything else in his life. And my friend, that's the way it ought to be. Our love and our fear for God ought to be the forefront and the foremost thing in all our life. You see, Abraham loved God above his most prized possession, his only begotten son Isaac. He loved God more than he loved his son. He loved God more than he loved his possessions. He loved God more than he even loved his dear wife. I wonder how many moms and dads could say that this morning, that they love God more than their children or more than their grandchildren. It ought to be that everyone here would say, Pastor, I do, I love God more than that. I think the Lord so aptly put it in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37 through verse number 38. He said, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Not only is giving your child to God a confirmation, but notice something else. Giving your child to God is a clarification of ownership. It's a clarification of ownership. You see, when you give your child back to God, you're openly declaring that your child is a gift from God. You're openly declaring that your child doesn't really belong to you, that this child belongs to God Himself. You just have the privilege to love on them and train them, this child. But this child is not yours. It's God's child. And what do you think was on Abraham's mind as he laid Isaac on the altar? No doubt he must have been thinking something along this line, Lord, this young man belongs to you and not to me. You do with him as you please. He's yours. He's not really mine. Moms and dads, that little boy or that little girl doesn't really belong to you. You think he belongs to you. He does not. He belongs to God Himself. And they're precious gifts from God. Understand this, that God is just loaning them back to you till He desires to call them back home with Him. I like what Psalm 127 in verse 3 says. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Notice that it's not our reward, it's His reward. So we better be careful how we treat and how we care for God's property. And I believe that God carefully watches out for His children. And I believe that the chastisement for those that mistreat and the punishment in hell for those who aren't saved is a little bit hotter, a little bit stronger for those who mistreat and abuse our children, God's children. Let me tell you something. God did not authorize the state to raise your child. He didn't authorize grandma and grandpa to raise your child either. He didn't authorize your neighbors to raise your child. God authorized mommies and daddies to raise their kid. I want to tell you this morning that contrary to what Hillary Clinton would tell you, it doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes a mom and a dad to raise a child under the watchful hand of God. Not only is giving your child back to God a confirmation and clarification, but notice something else. Giving your child back to God is a commitment to raise your child God's way. I like Ephesians 6 and verse 4 where Paul says that we are to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I've quoted that several different times already today. What a wonderful, great verse that is. I encourage you to read Ephesians 6 when you get home and study that passage of Scripture for greater understanding in this matter. But believe this, to give your child to God is just not a ceremony. It's just not some pomps and circumstances. It's not just some special ceremony. It is a commitment. And it's a commitment that you're going to, number one, be a godly parent. You see, parents' dedication requires parents getting right with God Himself. Don't you dare dedicate your child to God today if you're not willing to get right with God yourself. How could you dedicate your child to God knowing that you're not right with God yourself? How can you make these promises to bring your child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord if you don't even keep the promises and the vows that you made to God when you first got saved? Be a godly parent. And number two, teach your children of Christ. And that simply means this. You have to teach them about the old sin nature. You have to tell them that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to teach them that even mommy and daddy have sinned and needed a Savior, Jesus the Christ, to die for them. And repeat your testimony. Teach them that they need to be saved. Number three, keep your child in church. Let me help you for a moment. Just don't put them on the bus. You come with them. Bring them to church. Now, if you can't come because of work or some other reasons, that's understandable. But listen, gone are those days when parents just drop their children off. Listen, you come and bring them to church. You're going to love this child, even if loving them means disciplining them, even if loving them means that you have to chasten them. Remember, God chastens you. It's not wrong for you to lovingly chasten or discipline your child. Number five, stay married for this child. Now, there's many other reasons why that you ought to stay married, but I think this is a pretty good one as we think about a parent and baby dedication day. Stay married for the child. You agree when you got married, for better or for worse, for richer or for poor, till death do you part, in sickness and in health. And you say, well, I'm definitely poor, and I'm sick and tired of this. But listen, you promised God, you vowed to Him that you would do that. You hang in there. You stay married for that child. And then we find something else, a few more things to commit to. Make your home a holy place. Get rid of all those things that are nonsense in your life that you know are displeasing to God. It's not about you, it's about them. And even things that you do, that you watch, that you say, that you allow to come into your house, would you want your children to be able to hear and see and do those things? No, you probably would not. Make your home a holy place. Put away all worldliness. Live a righteous life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think some people today see baby dedication as some magical ceremony where we come forward and we lay hands on them, we pray for them. Listen, it's not a magical ceremony. I want to tell you something. This ceremony that we're going to do in just a few moments literally means nothing. It's zero. If you're not making a sincere, lifelong commitment to raise this child God's way, it means nothing for you to do that today. I like what Joshua told the children of Israel as they settled into their new home, as they went into the promised land. In Joshua 24, in verses 14 and 15, he says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." What is he telling them? He said, putting all that worldliness away, he said, we're doing something different now. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you are going to serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Someone once said this, "I want my family to turn out right. So as a parent, I'm going to begin to lead them right." Parents, if you want your child to turn out right, you're going to have to lead them right. That's the kind of commitment that God is looking for in parents today. That's the kind of commitment God is expecting out of grandparents today. Not only is giving your child back to God a confirmation, a clarification, and a commitment, but notice lastly, giving your child back to God is the claiming of God's plan and purpose for your child's life. You see, Isaac inherited God's blessing. He inherited God's protection. He inherited all the promises of God because his dad, Abraham, gave him back to God. Notice in verses 15 through verse 18, we'll read these verses again. "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in the seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." You see, Isaac inherited God's blessing and protection and the promises because Abraham decided to give him back to God as God commanded. You understand this morning that your children are blessed by your obedience to God? or they could be cursed by your disobedience to God. I understand that God gives them a free will choice. He gives you and I a free will choice. But understand this morning that you stack the odds in their favor or the odds against them by the way you live your life. And as you obey God with your life, and as you give that child back to God, you're posturing your child to receive God's very best for their life. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says this: train up a child in the way that he goes, and in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Believe this, my friend, that the way you live your life today will have a direct effect on the way that your children lives their life. That's what it means to give your children back to God. It's a confirmation of your supreme love to God. It's a clarification of ownership, understanding that God really owns this child. It's a commitment to raise the child under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's claiming of God's best plan and promises for your children's life. And that's exactly what happened when Abraham took Isaac up to the Mount Moriah and laid him on the altar and gave him back to God. Abraham was confirming his love and fear of Jehovah God. Abraham was clarifying that Isaac really did belong to God. Abraham was committing to be a godly parent for the young boy Isaac. Abraham was claiming God's plan and God's promises for Isaac. So parents, let me ask you this as we close this morning. How are you doing in this area of giving your child back to God? If you never have done that, during this invitation, please come and do business with God. Simple prayer you can pray and ask God to understand your heart. Ask Him to take back the child. You're giving it back to Him because He really owns your child. If you've never done that, would you please do that? And let me just warn you, your failure to do that could cause your child and yourself to miss God's very best for your child and for yourself. Let's pray.